Welcome to the FishExplorer.com's Fly Fishing Podcast. This is a show where we talk about everything from how to fish, where to fish, what to fish for, and whatever else we want to talk about. We will talk to the legends of fishing, guides, fishermen, and anybody else who wants to talk fishing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Good morning, evening, afternoon, everybody, wherever you are out there in Fish Explorer land. This is Tim Fishman Emery. If you're just finding us on the World Wide Web through iTunes or one of the other podcasting services, we are our website is www.fishexplorer.com. We are the number one resource for fishing information in Colorado and for fishing information all over the West. So we are the place where you can find anything. We have a winter giveaway going on right now. If you're a member, you can sign up to win some fabulous prizes, including a two nights all-inclusive stay at the lodge at Roaring Fork, a hatch fly reel, Sabia lures, great kind of stuff. Our podcast this week has a very special guest, a gentleman who has become one of the up-and-coming rising stars of the fly fishing industry. One of them reasons is his good looks, his charm, his wit, and maybe some of his fishing ability. He is a TV star, a movie star, and everybody some around the place calls him Hollywood. Mr. Frank Smethurst, how are you, Frank?
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm great. Welcome to the show. I'm glad we could get this together. It was a little bit hard, but we got it done.
Yeah, you know, I know I've been elusive. I've been, working really hard, traveling throughout the Southern Rockies, and thank you very much for your diligence and patience. I'm way down on the New Mexico line, and you, of course, are up in the Front Range, so thanks to the magic of good telecom, here we are.
Yeah, we'll see how long the telecom works, but hey, Frank,
so
you've been guiding and working in, you know, shops for a long time, and then you hooked up with a couple guys out of Durango Telluride area to go film Running Down the Man, and that's probably where people know you best from. Tell us a little bit about those guys, how you got in there, and give us some nitty gritty about that whole thing, since everybody's seen it and everybody was just amazed with it. We want to know a little bit of the insider information.
Sure, Tim. Well, you know, first of all, the important points here are Ben Knight and Travis Rummel.
Mm-hmm.
Terrific people, great friends of mine, and you know, some of the more talented people that I know in a industry, sport that has a lot of very talented people. And anyhow, so Ben and Travis were my friends in Telluride. Travis was actually renting at one point my house in Ilium, just down valley from Telluride. And Travis and I were guides together for the Telluride Angler, on the Pagre, mm-hmm. and San Miguel, Gunnison, etc. Ben was the local photographer, star photographer, really, for the newspaper. And, you know, with profound artistic tendencies. And basically, Travis at one point came to me with some rushes, you know, just some preliminary footage of what would later become the Hatch, you know, the mm-hmm. very first effort that they ever did,
right.
Almost with one of the very first days they ever went out and shot video.
Right.
Because Ben and Travis, when Travis wasn't guiding, he was moonlighting as a photographer for the daily paper, and Ben was his boss.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben would say, "Oh, go do this, Travis," and that Travis would slink off and go, shoot some shots. And both of them are just terrific photographers. And
mm-hmm.
They edited it up over time. This piece called The Hatch, and because I'm a rep for Scott and and Patagonia and all these other companies throughout the Southern Rockies, I was constantly traveling, you know, to fly shops, and Travis had given me these DVDs, and I would play these DVDs for people that were interested in fly shops. And back then, almost no fly shops had, you know, a DVD player,
right.
or a video screen in there. But the ones that did, you know, particularly, you know, Western Anglers in Junction, Western Rivers in Salt Lake City, all those guys, you know, right off the bat were like, where did you get this?
Right.
You know, and to tell you the truth, we very quickly, I don't know, you know, I had a really good time telling Travis and Ben about the feedback that I was getting from this, you know, didn't even have a title to it. There was no such thing as Felt Soul Media at that point. It was just, it was raw and it was different. And in some ways it was like a fishing, you know, rock video.
Right.
And, but right away, the very first time I ever saw it, I was like, you guys may not believe this, but I think that you're already among the very best in the world as far as, you know, putting together fishing sequences and having people understand it and be compelled by it.
Right.
So, you know, over time, I helped. At the time, I was working with a company that we were creating a mothership operation for the Sea of Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
The very first paying gig that Ben and Travis ever got for this, and to tell you the truth, the very first time that we ever worked together, was making a promotional video for this mothership operation on the Sea of Cortez. And we really liked working together. I had been telling them about my long-standing love affair with roosterfish.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, we got done with this promotional video for the mothership operation, and very quickly we went back to Mexico and began filming Running Down the Man.
Right.
And that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's sort of how Ben and Travis and I have, you know, that's kind of our history up to the point of Running Down the Man. And then last summer we went to Russia and filmed in Kamchatka, what will be the second of our efforts together, and that's tentatively titled Eastern Rising.
Now, one thing about these movies that you guys have done together is there's always a conservation theme, which I think is fantastic. I guess on the Hatch, they were working on the Gunnison, keeping that going, the Baja Running Down the Man is making sure that the coast doesn't get overrun. And what's Kamchatka's kind of take going to be?
Well, you know, it's hard to imagine in a place like that that there could be, you know, impacts or negative influences. But one of the things that Kamchatka is actually, you know, pretty threatened by is, you know, pretty corrupt Russian system. Where, you know, you have such an incredible poaching and sort of organized crime supported poaching, cartel. Whether you're talking about from salmon to grizzly bears to you name it. And it's almost completely unregulated over there. It's like Alaska 200 years ago in both senses of the word, both senses of the phrase, in that there's just nobody really looking after Kamchatka. Not really.
Right.
And that's probably the greatest danger with this. As pristine and incredible as it is in most areas, it's very ripe for the picking.
Right,
for
right.
For the taking.
Right.
And it, you know, it's so fragile, it could be changed and ruined very quickly.
Right. Now, Running Down the Man was your coming out party, I would guess. I'm sure, you know, I know you've done other things and stuff like that, but that was kind of the first time we saw the Frank personality come out, which truly, you know, besides the great photography and so forth, I really think that was the hit of the movie. Your Elizabeth Hurley line is still one of the best lines I've ever heard.
She's a compelling woman, you know, just like rooster fish, a compelling fish. It's a lot going on with both of them.
Where did you ad lib most of that stuff, or did you guys kind of plan what was gonna come out of your mouth?
All right, I'll give you the lowdown on exactly how that happened. And a lot of credit here has to go to Travis. Someone who has a terrific, if not understated, sense of humor.
Right.
But Travis basically, we were sitting out on the beach and sort of doing some interviews, and Travis asked the question, Frank, what, you know, you're obviously in love with roosterfish. What Hollywood starlet would you compare roosterfish with? And so it was really, it was a very inspirational question. And you should know that Travis and I had been doing shots of tequila prior to that, just to kind of get the vibe going. And to tell you the truth, that was two or three shots in, and anyhow, he was really flowing as far as asking, you know, what a clever question to ask. And, you know, I am very proud of the response. Though, you know what, Tim, at the time, I thought to myself, you know what, why would I say Elizabeth Hurley? Because she's not Latin, and that's one of the things that roosterfish, you know, so are. You never find them outside of Latin America. So there, I actually wanted to go back and say, oh, you know, what about Penelope Cruz?
Right.
You know, that's what roosterfish are really like. But to tell you the truth, I'm thrilled that we didn't. Travis was like, oh, no, trust me, that's great.
And nailed it.
Well, you know, we knew that things were going well as we were shooting Running Down the Ramp. We really did. I mean, there were times where, you know, the fishing was just amazing and everything was coming together. And I had gone and found the ultralight pilot and the dune buggy and all these other great elements. And it was just, you know, it was just an incredibly special 10 days, 2 weeks that, that we were, you know, working. Believe it or not, it really was a lot of work, but it was so much fun. And there's something really great and special that happens when the three of us get together, whether it's work or play or just hanging out.
Great.
I'm very proud of all that.
So, you know, and that has led into now your next, I guess, part of your life, and working with Trout Unlimited, and hopefully I'm not, you know, hopefully it's still going on, but you're still working on The Rise, the Trout Unlimited TV series, right?
Yeah, and that's going really well. We're actually working on the 2010 season right now. We're about halfway through shooting 2010. And got some great episodes already in the can. You know, we actually did, you know, speaking of, you know, conservation, we did some shows in Alaska concerning the pebble mine, which is, you know, such a grievous threat up there. And, you know, that's something also that Ben and Travis on their own made an incredible film called Red Gold concerning. So anyhow, we took the On the Rise crew up there and made probably some of the best of all of the TV shows that we have made up to this point, easily some of the best shows there.
Great.
And hopefully we can top that, you know, here shooting this next winter and spring. But, I mean, the fishing was happening. The conservation story was just so incredibly immediate and pressing and tangible, and even managed to catch a few pike.
So are you going to tell us that the pebble mine is kind of like a Sarah Palin? It's beautiful on the outside and crazy on the inside.
Well, you know, I wish that it even had that veneer, because Sarah Palin is kind of hot.
She is. She's a nut.
I have some impure thoughts with regard to Sarah Palin, but mostly, you know, I'm scared. You know, she just causes a great deal of fear in me, and that's the principal thing that the pebble mine, now that I've seen it, you know, Tim, we landed in a float plane on this lake called Frying Pan Lake, which is in the middle of the proposed pebble mine operation,
right?
And in the entire world, you couldn't pick a worse place to put even a small gold mine,
right?
And because it's in the saddle of all these mountains, all of these different drainages start right there and trickle off in 10 different directions. It would be a bad place to put even a small or medium-sized gold mine. And what people don't understand about the pebble mine is we're talking about the world's largest open-pit gold mine.
Right.
The biggest stilling basin and dam ever erected. I mean, we're talking about a dam that would create a pond full of poisons that is bigger than the dam that they're stretching now across the Yangtze.
Yeah.
Bigger than Aswan Dam across the Nile, or any, much bigger than Hoover Dam.
Wow.
And anyhow, when you see where they're talking about putting it, and you see the surrounding countryside, and you see, the fact that, we've just got salmon on the run everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, New York City used to have incredible salmon fishing. So
right.
Did Los Angeles,
yep.
Seattle. We've wiped them out everywhere. This is really the last place left on the planet. And if we let something like this go in, particularly in a place that's as seismically active.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst possible scenario.
Right. Right.
So that was really affecting for me personally to come to a greater understanding about what this really was threatening and what, it possibly meant for all of these amazing people that we got a chance to meet and fish with, both commercially and, from a sport fishing angle. And, their entire lives and livelihood depend on the salmon. And
mm-hmm.
It's just this incredibly special culture that continues to exist everywhere else. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
All the salmon fishermen in Maine, gone.
Yeah.
All the salmon fishermen in California, pretty much having to pack up and leave now.
Right.
Coincidentally, salmon fishing being closed this last year.
Right.
There's none left. And, can we risk this again? I mean, our track record isn't that good.
Right. Right.
To say the least.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So what else do you have coming down the pipeline on the rise? What other kind of shows?
We're actually going to meet and talk about that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some of the things that I'm proposing. I'm really interested in some of the conservation issues that we face here closer to home. We already did a show about the Fraser in Winter Park,
mm-hmm.
in Colorado, which is such a great river and is so unbelievably manhandled by Front Range water issues. We
yep.
already did a great show about the Gunnison, but ironically, we haven't done a show about the Colorado.
Right.
And that right now is almost atop the list of the most threatened rivers in America.
Yeah.
Some of the, the increasing demands for water on the Front Range, which basically if you've got a bluegrass lawn, thanks a lot.
Uh-huh. Sorry, man. I got one. It's small, though. I promise.
Well, we're gonna have to come by and zero scape that thing. But it's important to me to try and do some stuff locally, and I also
right.
really want to. I've got hopes of going to try and catch one of the rarest and hardest to catch of all American fish, and that's a northwestern winter steelhead.
Uh-huh.
That's a fish that, that makes catching something like a muskie or a permit look pretty reasonable.
Right.
As far as, the endurance that you have to have, the dangerous places you have to go, the very tricky conditions that have to come into alignment to enable you to get, even a bite.
Right.
And then, once you hang a winter fish, and winter fish are very different than summer fish, but winter fish are, very, very marine in
mm-hmm.
that they only push up into the rivers very briefly and then spin around and head back out to the ocean.
Yeah.
They're probably the meanest of all of the American salmonids. So I'd like to pursue some of those and talk about some of the issues that, considerable issues that they face. And, I'd love to catch a golden trout. Never
yeah.
done that.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. How about you? What do you think? What kind of show would you like to see on the rise go to?
Well, you know, my personal feeling is we want you guys to come to the Carp Slam at the end of August next year, because although carp is not a TU favored fish or anything like that, the South Platte, as it runs through Denver, has the opportunity to become a great fishery, trout fishery and smallmouth and bass fishery. And we have the opportunity, and we're getting closer and closer to being able to change this and change the culture so that we actually have a viable, beautiful piece of water in the middle of downtown Denver. So I think it's a great opportunity. We're using carp as a catalyst to raise money to save the trout and build the trout. And you know, you've participated in the Carp Slam. You know what a blast it is.
It is a blast. I had such a good time, and I'll tell you, not only is it a blast, but it's a pretty impressive challenge.
Yeah.
Those carp, they're no pushovers. You know, I felt great that, last year, I want to say I caught one,
mm-hmm.
and it was like pulling teeth, man.
Yeah.
To make those fish bite.
Yeah.
This year I caught one, but I put the guy, my partner, who had never caught one in the tournament, got him not only the biggest carp that he ever caught, but his first one in the carp slam.
Yep. Yep.
And, you know, we weren't in the running, but I'll tell you what, Rob Kalanda, just has so much game. He's going to be a tough guy to catch no matter what beat
yep.
he gets assigned.
Yep. Yep. So I think that would be a great one with, you know, we're at the point with the effort that we're probably going to need to raise about $100,000 out of all our efforts this year. And the Carp Slam, we've got a goal to raise over $10,000, and we raised $6,300 last year. So,
That's working on
it. Yeah. So, it's time for us to put up or shut up. So, having all the publicity we can would be fantastic.
Well, you know, it's a great thing that you've helped create, Tim, and I'm really looking forward to participating again.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, Frank, we're running out of time because, number one, I know you got to go fishing, and I'm jealous as again.
I got to go repping. But, you know, I've been doing so much work, I'm not even sure I remember which side of a fly rod to hold anymore.
I'm sure we won't have to worry about that. It's just like riding a bike.
I hope to go fishing very soon.
Well, you got to get to work. I got to get to work. We got to get this podcast up. But where's the best place to find your contact information? And if anybody's got questions and want to know what you rep or what you're doing, where can they figure that stuff out?
Probably the best place is to go to combenterprises.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually our repping company.
Okay.
Myself and Cody Muchow, rep Bailey's and Patagonia and Scott and Nautilus and Loon and all kinds of other great fly fishing companies. And, that's basically our expression of all that and our, you know, sort of work and play, website.
Good, good. Well,
combenterprises.com.
Yep, and then you can, of course, find Running Down the Man and all the pictures at feltsoulmedia.com. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. Feltsoulmedia.com.
Yep.
Some great accessories and shirts and stuff like that. And stay tuned for the unleashing of our next project together, and that's Eastern Rises.
That's fantastic. Well, Frank, I'm going to let you run. We will be in touch. We'll probably see you at ISE, and we'll actually chat before then, and I appreciate your time.
Hey, Tim, I appreciate your interest, and thanks a lot, everybody out there.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right.
If you haven't seen Running Down the Man, you definitely got to go see that movie about catching rooster fish in Baja. Great stuff, and Felsol Media has put a lot of stuff together. I want to thank Frank for getting some time with me. It was a lot of fun. Sitting here middle of November, Colorado weather, crazy as it ever is, snow on the ground, and then 50-degree days. There's nothing like it here anywhere in the world. going on Fish Explorer right now, the winter fishing contest or giveaway is going on. And if you're a member, you can sign up once a week. If you're an FXR Plus member, you sign up every day. You put an entry in, and there are some fantastic prizes. Two nights, 3 days, all-inclusive fishing trip to the lodge at Roaring Fork, and a $200 gift certificate to Sportsman's Warehouse, sponsored by World Fishing Network. Sabia Lures has a six-pack of lures. Hatch Fly Reels has a Hatch Fly Reel that is a 5, 6, 7 weight and worth probably $500, so that's a great item. There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on at ISE, so you'll definitely have to look out for ISE Adventure pages coming up. Also be talking about Friday Night Bites here in the near future. We're going to have some cool people on here in the next couple of months running up to ISE or next couple of weeks. So in the meantime, ice is starting to form on those lakes. I know there are guys ice fishing out there. I think you got to be careful and be safe this time of year. And those guys out there on 2 inches of ice, I think you're nuts. You're freaking nuts. Just be careful. We don't want to lose anybody in the Fish Explorer community. So ice will be here soon enough. We'll have plenty of time to get out there. And we'll be doing some winter fly fishing as well on some of the tailwater. So be looking for that. In the meantime, thanks for being here on the Fish Explorer podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please email me at tim@fishexplorer.com. And also, as always, make sure you get out there and go fishing.